Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. Welcome to Live with Passion. My goal is to inspire you and to help you to live with passion. I want to share with you the scripture, Paul's letter to the Philippians. And he says, "This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly call in Christ Jesus." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I want to share with you about pressing on. I had this scripture read at my profession. I was professed back in 1985. There was eight of us, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, all young men, 20s, 30s, and we all had a past. Some things we weren't proud of, some mistakes that we had made, some sins that we had committed. And we had this read at our profession because we didn't want to concentrate on the past. We wanted to learn from the past, but not stay stuck in it. We wanted to concentrate rather on the future. And our profession day was a glorious day for all of us. And I want to have you consider that you have a glorious future ahead of you. And there's no reason to stay stuck in the past, in failure, in defeat, in sins, in guilt, in hurt. Maybe you've had some things happen to you. Maybe you've tried some things that didn't work. Well, it's time to go forward, to press on. I love what Paul the Apostle said. He said, "This one thing I do, this one thing," out of all the things that he could have possibly done, he said, "This is what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to leave the past behind, and I'm going to press on toward the future." Now, remember what I said. You learn from the past. There's good experiences in the past, and you learn from it, and you revel in some of the memories, but you don't stay stuck in guilt, in failure, in sin, in all the hurts that you had in the past. So you learn from the past, you live in the moment, and you look to the future. That's the way I like to look at it. You learn from the past, live in the moment, look to the future. So Paul the Apostle said, "This one thing I do." It's interesting that Paul the Apostle said it because he was in a jail. We're not quite sure exactly where. He was writing to the Philippians, probably in Rome. Now imagine you're in a Roman jail, you know, way back 2,000 years ago. You didn't have any amenities, any good food or anything. And he could have been thinking, you know, I've lived my whole life and I've tried so hard and I've lived for the gospel. Now here I am in jail and it's because I committed murder. Remember now, Paul the Apostle killed the deacon Stephen. Remember, he was one of the ones that murdered Stephen. So he could have been thinking, you know, I murdered Stephen, God is punishing me, I'm in prison. Or he could have been thinking about how he had that split with John Mark. You know, there were preachers, there were evangelists, there were missionaries, and they had a sharp contention, the Bible says. Or he could have been thinking about the time he was in Corinth preaching, and he preached about the resurrection and nobody listened. He failed. So instead of concentrating on his sin, instead of concentrating on his failure, instead of concentrating on some of the relationship problems that he had in the past, he said, "No, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on to the glorious future that God has for me." And I think that's so good because we all have relationship problems. We all have failures. We've all had sins in our life. We've all had things that we're not proud of. And the scriptures are telling us that, you know what? God's not mad at you because of this, but rather God wants to work with you for a glorious future, a glorious destiny. I got a letter just recently, and actually it was an email from a woman, and she said, "Father Cedric, I enjoy watching you. It brings me peace." And she said, "I like to pray, but because of deep-rooted issues with my past, unfortunately, I get so down that I stop hoping and I rebel." And she said, "Please pray for me." And what is she saying? She's saying that I get stuck. I get stuck in the past. And because of that, I stop to hope. I stop going toward the future. And that's exactly the what Paul said. He said, you know, we got to forget the past and not stay stuck in it and move toward the future and reach toward the future. I remember I heard this story about this man in Sacramento, and I want to tell you that not only do you have a glorious future, God will redeem your past. Whatever trials or tribulations or whatever way you may feel stuck in your past, God will redeem it, so you don't need to stay stuck. Not only do you not have to stay stuck, He'll redeem the places where you failed in the past. I remember the story about this man in Sacramento, and he came up to me and he said, Father Cedric, he said, 20 years ago I wasn't going to church, and I just came into this building, and I was standing underneath the third station of the cross, and all of a sudden I heard a voice, and it said, I fell and I got up, and you have fallen and you can get up. And it was the voice of Jesus to me, and I know what he was talking about. He said, because I wasn't going to church and I was heavily drinking. And when I heard that voice, I got up and you can get up, it touched me so much that I haven't had a drink of alcohol since, and now I've gone back to church. You see, no matter what you're going through, it could be an addiction, it could be a tribulation, or hurt, an abuse, self-pity, whatever it is, you can get up. Instead of giving up, get up in Jesus' name. You can rise in Jesus' name. You see, God has a way of redeeming the past. And you have a choice right now. You know, some of you have gone through a divorce, you've been wallowing in self-pity, or maybe you've had a child that's left the faith, you've been blaming yourself, or maybe you're grieving somebody that you just lost and you're kind of just staying stuck. Well, I want to tell you that you have a choice right now. You can either stay stuck in the past, or like Paul the Apostle, I love this attitude. He said, this one thing that I do, I press on toward the future. I know that God has a glorious future for me, and I'm not going to let anything stop me from moving forward. I remember when I was living in Sacramento a number of years ago. Sacramento, of course, is the capital of California. And it was in January, and they were having a big pro-life rally at the Capitol. I had never been to a pro-life rally. Of course, I'm pro-life, and you know, we want to have all the babies live. And so I went to this pro-life rally just to see what it was like, and I was very surprised at what happened. I had never been to one, but I went in the Capitol steps. There were about 200, 300 people all gathered there. Now, I've been to a lot of religious services in churches. This service, whatever you want to call that out at the Capitol step, this service was as religious as anything that I had ever been to. In fact, it made me cry. I saw women there, standing there, holding babies, holding roses. There was such an atmosphere of peace and such a graced atmosphere. You could tell that God was there. Well, anyway, as the proceedings went on, what happened was a woman got up and she started to speak, and much to my amazement, as she spoke in front of all these women holding babies and all these people, pro-life and everything, this woman announced that she had had an abortion in her past. And then she talked about the tragedy and the pain and the self-condemnation and the self-pity and how she hated herself for years because of the abortion, all the guilt and the shame that she had. And then she said how God had touched her and redeemed her. The next person got up, and I'm thinking to myself, that must have been really embarrassing for her to get up there in front of all those women and tell everybody that she had had an abortion. The next woman gets up. She said that she had an abortion. In fact, she said she had two abortions. And she talked about the same thing, about the pain and the self-condemnation, how she felt stuck, how she felt that she was being punished in her life. And then the next woman gets up and said the same thing, and she had had multiple abortions too. And I'm thinking in front of all these people, wow, can you imagine saying that in front of all those people? And then every one of them, and this is what I want to share with you, they not only confessed that they had had an abortion in front of all these people, every one of them talked about Jesus and what the Lord did for them on the cross, how they had come to Him in their brokenness, with their past, with the shame, with the guilt, with the inner condemnation, with the self-pity. And they felt that they had committed the unpardonable sin, and they came to Jesus just as they was. And every one of those women that got up there that day shouted, Alleluia, I have been forgiven because of the blood of the cross. And that's what made me cry. I was watching that whole thing. You know, I've been to a lot of religious services, but wow. not only can you move past your past, God can make whatever has happened in your past work out for good and give you a new future and a new destiny. Now, I realize that some of you watching have had abortions. Some of you have gone through divorce. Some of you have been sexually abused. There's all kinds of different things that happen to people. This is real life. And what I want to tell you is that maybe you have a sin or a tragedy or a failure or a brokenness in your past. God takes that and he uses it and he redeems it in Christ. So don't think that you're beyond redemption. You know, they have this sign at Niagara Falls right before the millions and millions of gallons of water go cascading right over the falls. Right before that waterfall hits, they have this sign and it says, beyond redemption. And I want to tell you something. You are not beyond redemption. No matter what you have in your past, God has redeemed it in the cross. God will bring you out of it. You have a glorious future in front of you. I think about, I was just flying in New York just recently, a couple weeks ago. I was flying to Long Island, Merrick, Long Island, and I preached a retreat there. And when we flew in, I knew, I got a window seat because I knew whenever that flight path into LaGuardia Airport from Houston, I know it goes right over New York City. And sure enough, we were flying in there. Right beneath, I could see the Statue of Liberty in all her glory, and it was just right outside my window. Then we banked a little bit, and there it was. The Liberty Tower, the highest building in the Western Hemisphere, 1,776 feet high. That, of course, is symbolic of liberty when the Declaration of Independence was signed. And it was built right over 9/11 and the tragedy and the terrorist attacks of 9/11. This glorious edifice, this high arching edifice that proclaims liberty right in the face, right out of the ashes, right out of that horrible memory of 9/11. And see, that's exactly what God does in our life. Right out of the ashes, he brings something new. I remember when I was in Long Island, a woman invited me over to her house. And we had a lunch. A friend of mine was with me, her husband. And she said, "Father, you know, the house is nice and everything, and I appreciate you coming, but we have to let you know, this house has been rebuilt. You see, we had a fire a couple years ago. And the fire, you know, the firemen came and they doused it with all kinds of water and we had to rebuild." And then she showed me a scripture quote and it said, "Behold, I make all things new." She said, "Father, we found this right out of the ashes of the fire and right on the edge of it, it's burnt a little bit." And she said, "This is so crucial. This is so important about what God is doing in our life. My husband got a new job. We got a new house. And truly, God makes all things new." Right out of the fires of our life, right out of the ashes of our life. I love that scripture quote from the Bible, from the book of Revelation. God says, "Behold, I make all things new." I want you to believe that with me right now as you're watching this program, that out of your past, out of the self-pity, out of the self-condemnation, out of the hurts of your past, God is speaking this word to you that she spoke to that woman, that God spoke to that woman. "Behold, I make all things new." Whatever you're going through in your life right now, grieving, relationship problems, hurts, there's something new happening. You know how the phoenix rises from the ashes? You've probably heard about this. The phoenix is a mythological bird, looks like an eagle, big bird. Well, when it comes to the end of its life cycle, what it does is it builds a nest, the nest ignites, and the bird in the nest burn to ashes. But out of the ashes comes this new phoenix, this reborn bird. And sometimes it's the ashes in our life that actually lead to new life. So I want you not so much to despise your past, but I want you to press on to a new future, realizing that God redeems your past, that he has a glorious plan for you and a glorious future. So Paul said, "This one thing that I do, I forget what lies behind and I press on." Let's talk about that word press. You know what the press is. Tiger Woods, for example, will go to a golf tournament. He is surrounded by press, by the media. They call him the press. And it's interesting. Paparazzi, if you've ever seen them, they are aggressive. They are assertive. They push their way in because they want the picture. A woman that's got an ironing board takes an iron and she presses the dress. And that takes exertion, it takes force, it takes effort, it takes work when you press. I've written 18 books, and they don't get written just by thinking about it. You have to press keys over and over and over again. It's a lot of work. Have you ever seen a man or a woman bench press hundreds of pounds? It's work, it's effort. You ever watch basketball? They have a full court press. That's when they're really exerting the pressure on the basketball player. You see, Paul was talking about this one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, and he said, I press on, I lean into it, I work, I exert, I don't give up, rather, I live with passion, is what he was saying. In the midst of his storied past, and we all have a storied past, he realized that God redeems the past. So therefore, he has a glorious future for you and me, so let's go forward in life. As I said in the beginning of the program, my goal is to help you to live with passion. And maybe your plan A, the plan A that you thought you had for your life, isn't happening or hasn't come to be. Well, I want to tell you that God has a plan B for your life, and plan B stands for better. Because God has a better plan for you than you could have ever imagined. I remember the story of, you see that I'm wearing this religious habit, and I'm a passionist. I belong to a religious community dedicated to the passion, to the cross of Jesus. We profess our first vow to meditate on the passion of Christ. That's what these words mean, the passion of Jesus Christ. Well, we were founded in the 1700s in Italy by a man named Paul Danio, St. Paul of the Cross. Interesting thing, in the 1700s, he was probably 19, 20 years old. He had a conversion, God had touched his life, and he felt that God had called him to found a religious community. So, he wanted to call it the religious community. He wanted to call it the Poor of Jesus. So he shows up at the Vatican steps, and he wants an audience with the Pope so that he could get approved for his new religious community. Shows up at the Vatican doorsteps. You know what they did? The guards thought he was a derelict. Here's this guy dressed all in black like this. He's barefoot. They thought he was a derelict and a hobo. They took him and they threw him out and they said, "Don't you ever come back." Well, what do you do when you've been rejected by the church that you love? You know, all he was trying to do was found a religious community and have an audience with the Pope, and they said no, and they threw him out. Well, instead of giving in to despair, he turned to prayer. And he went to one of the four major basilicas in Rome, St. Mary Major. St. Mary Major, dedicated to the Virgin Mary. He went into one of the side chapels. As he was praying, he started meditating on the crucifix. And he realized, he thought about he had just gone through rejection. And some of you have dealt with rejection and abuse in the past. And he realized that Jesus was rejected, and Jesus suffered, Jesus was betrayed. And as he was meditating on the passion, that's when he came up with a great insight, God gave this to him, to found a community not dedicated to the poor, although we are, but rather to call it the Passionists, a community dedicated to the passion of Jesus, dedicated to the sufferings of Jesus, and dedicated to how God redeems our past and our rejections and our hurts. And so he founded the community of the Passionists, but in order to do it, he had to go back to where he was thrown out. Miraculously, he goes to the Vatican. Miraculously, this time he's let in. Not only let in, he gets an audience with the Pope. And as he gets an audience with the Pope said, "This is a wonderful idea to found a community called the Passionists." And he approves the congregation of the Passion, and now we are in 60 countries all around the world proclaiming that God redeems, that in the Passion we are saved, that in the Passion we are forgiven, that even though you have a storied past, God will bring you out to a better future. I think about my own life. You know, I've been on TV now for 8-9 years, and the first time, you know, when I started creating programs, I really felt like God had called me, and I sent some programs to Boston Catholic TV, and I remember they approved the programs, and I thought, wow, this is great and everything. So I went to the National Catholic Television Station, and I said, "God has called me to be on TV, and I've produced these programs," and I showed it to him, and they said no. The door was like slammed right in my face. I felt like Paul of the Cross thrown out. I went to the Vatican, and I was thrown out. I went to this TV station, and they said, "No, who do you think you are?" I was so dejected. rejected by the church that I love, when I felt like I was called to do this with this national TV station. So I remember I went to prayer, and I remember going to God, and I said, "My Lord, I feel like you've called me, and I believe that you've called me. Now what? Now what?" Well, I got to tell you that God's plan B is always better than our plan A. And remember, plan B means better. And I was rejected. I was hurt. I wanted to give up. But as I prayed and I said, "Now what?" I remember what I heard deep in my heart. This is what I heard, the same words that I'm telling you today. Press on. Keep creating. Lean into it. Give your all. Keep working. I said, "All right, I don't have much of a place to start now." But I found out that, you know what? When one door shuts, another one opens. I started getting on stations in Long Island, New York, Orlando, Atlanta, Fresno, Scranton, Baton Rouge, San Antonio, all these different Catholic stations. Then, as people found out about me and as I continued to write books, I started getting on the church channel. This is Trinity Broadcasting Network's church channel. Then, after years later, a door opened for me to get on TBN, and now many of you are watching me on TBN on Sunday mornings. Many of you are watching me on the church channel. Others of you are watching me on all these Catholic stations. You see, I was ready to give up, and God told me, "Cedric, keep pressing on." And it's amazing how the doors opened for me. And I want to tell you that even though you've gone through some failures, some rejections, some hurts in your past, God has a plan. Keep pressing on. Don't you give up. You can live with passion. God has redeemed your past, and God's plan B is a lot better than our plan A. And I'll tell you that I have learned that whether it's my past, my future, my present, we are in God's hands. I want to tell you about this story about this doctor who's moving his office across town. And he packed everything up in a big moving van and, you know, all the different instruments and everything. They had one thing left that they couldn't fit in that van. It was an anatomical skeleton. They found it in the closet. So he goes to his nurse. He goes, "Nurse," he said, the van's full. Let's take this skeleton and move it across town. What I want you to do is take it in your car." So they took the anatomical skeleton and they opened up the passenger door and they put it in the passenger seat and they seat buckled it in, closed the door. And now here's this nurse driving across town with a skeleton next to her. And she pulls up to a stoplight and this man just pulls up and looks and he could hardly believe his eyes. There's this skeleton sitting there. So he rolls down the window and goes, "Hey, where are you taking him?" And she goes, "To the doctor's office." And he goes, "Don't you think it's a little too late?" And what I want to tell you is, it's never too late to begin again. It's never too late to press on. Even though your dreams and your visions may not have come to be, even though your spiritual life isn't where you want it to be, even though you've had a past of rejection and hurt and sin and betrayal, even though your virtue isn't perfect, press on. Paul the Apostle said, "This one thing I do, I press on to the glorious plan that God has for me." I want to share with you this really quickly. I got a letter from a woman, and she sent me a book. She said, "Father Cedric, I'm sending you this book because your programs has helped me to write this book. And it's called God Recycles Broken Dreams." And she talked about how she pressed on, she lived with passion, she wrote this book, and then at the end she said, "P.S., I'm 87 years old." That so touched my heart, because you are never too old to dream a dream and never too young to see a vision. So Paul the Apostle said, and I want you to get this, "This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, forgetting the hurt, the mistakes, the sins, the betrayal, the brokenness, I press on, I lean into it. I'm passionate about what God's will is in my life." Now don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.